Veritas Wealth is an independent financial planning business focused on managing wealth. In this series, we share hard-earned insights gained through years of experience at the cutting edge of financial planning. Young people need financial advice, good financial advice, and we have a duty to ensure that they get it. But what is the best financial advice for young people? The world is a very different place to what it was 15, 10, or even 5 years ago. The cost of living is exponentially higher. And when we consider those just joining the workforce and starting to make money in 2022, there are many distractions and pressures that weigh on their minds too. US-based financial planner Michael Kitsis has been quoted as saying, "If you make good, prudent decisions about the big things like what you drive and where you live, it actually leaves a lot of flexibility to not need to sweat the small stuff at all." Rick, my first question then is, what is Michael Kitsis getting at here?
Look, what he's getting at is he's basically saying that, you know, sure, you can cut out that 30 Rand cappuccino, which of course, you know, if that's every day and you're doing that for a lifetime, that's probably 300,000 Rand that you could be saving over your lifetime. So it's a meaningful number, absolutely. So I think what he's saying here is it's important to understand where your money is going. But the truth is, if you get these big ticket items like buying a car or where you live, that's going to have a far greater impact on your financial future and well-being than the ability to save on these smaller items. Look, I'm not saying the smaller items don't add up. Of course they do. But it's the big ones that I think he's saying you really should be concentrating on to get those right, because they have a far bigger impact.
Yeah. And you and I, sadly, probably can't be categorized as young people anymore. But given the fact that we do have a fair amount of experience dealing with money over our lifetimes, what do you feel is crucial for young people to understand about their finances?
Sean, I think it's all about learning good financial behavior as early as possible, no matter what your financial situation is. If you can learn some of these key behaviors early on in your earnings career, it'll stand you in such great stead to becoming financially independent and not to live from hand to mouth, as so many people do today.
Yeah. Now, tell me, when you speak with a 20 or 30-something-year-old professional, how do you want them to think about their money?
Look, everyone has a different relationship with money. And you know what? It comes from your upbringing and your experiences with money. So it's really not a case of like one size fits all. And you know, we ask clients, you know, what does money mean to you? And very often you get answers like, I see money as a utility. Money offers you choices. Money gives you freedom. So I suppose what I really would like a young person to think about is how best to use the utility of money, you know, to gain financial independence. So there are certainly some basic, I call them basic, but they're basic principles that I think if you follow from the outset and you learn these early on, they will stand you in good stead.
Can we then explore those basic principles? Especially if we recognize that living fast and living large has become so entrenched in today's culture, but this behavior, which you've mentioned before, can then have its consequences. So what advice would you be giving your own son or daughter when it comes to managing their finances?
I think if you ask any parent, they'll tell you your son and daughter don't really listen to you when it comes to that. But look, there are certainly some takeaways and some behaviors that can be taught and learned. So I can definitely share those. And I think if you can learn these, you know, it'll form a great base for you. So I would say the first is having a very good or a healthy spending plan. And by this, I mean, very simply, just know what you spend every month. Now, I can tell you, we meet clients all the time that actually don't know what they spend month to month. So have a healthy spending plan. Secondly, I'd probably say one of the most important things to learn is that you need to start saving, and you need to start saving now, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not when you finished paying off X, Y, or Z. It's really, you got to get cracking on it now. And then the third one I'd say is build an emergency fund as early as possible so that you can look after yourself if there were any unforeseen circumstances.
Okay, if we could, do you mind if we just backtrack a bit? Because I want to fully understand, how does a healthy spending plan compare to laying out a budget, for argument's sake?
Look, so behaviorally again, you know, so know what you spend month to month. And the only way you're going to get to grips with this is to record it. And that really forms the basis of a budget. So budget is a scary word. People, you know, don't want to go there. But very often, it's all about just making sure you know where your money's going. So we often joke, you know, about having a champagne lifestyle and a beer income. but really, what we mean here is live within your means. So you obviously can't save anything unless you've got a surplus, you know, so you need to be spending less than you earn. And I think, you know, as a younger person, your income should hopefully rise faster than your lifestyle. So you want to try and keep your lifestyle in check and learning a bit of self-control and a bit of delayed gratification.
And this healthy spending plan that you're referring to, then it definitely, well, I would imagine it makes saving that much easier.
Absolutely it does. I mean, a good trick here when it comes to saving is to pay yourself first. So very simply, again, or, you know, don't wait till the end of the month to see how much is left in your bank account to save. I mean, I can tell you now that is not going to work. It's not a good behavior. So we would say put that debit order on your bank account, your savings debit order. It should come off literally the month, the day after you've your salary goes in. So put yourself under pressure. You know, let it come out of your account and save. And we always say put yourself under pressure. It's a bit like going to the gym. You know, the first time you go, you come back that evening or the next day, and you feel so stiff and sore. But you know, after a couple of weeks, you know, things get a little bit easier. You can lift. You do a few more repetitions and you can lift more weights. And really, that's actually the same as saving, you know. So you know, try and increase your saving because it will get easier and easier and you'll get more used to it.
So then what exactly is an emergency saving fund?
Okay, so an emergency fund, which I mentioned earlier, really, we look at an emergency fund as something that's going to help you sleep a little bit better at night. Seriously, an emergency fund is generally kind of 3 months. I mean, it's whatever makes you feel comfortable, but let's call it 3 months worth of income that you've managed to stash away in some sort of interest-bearing account, whether that's a money market account or something similar, but it must be easily accessible. So the key is that it's there for emergencies or an unforeseen circumstance. You know, going to Bali is not an unforeseen circumstance.
I wish it were an unforeseen circumstance. Gotta go to Bali, guys. Sorry, didn't see that one coming. I must admit that I didn't really comprehend the power of compound interest at first. And you've made mention now of a money market account. Once I had a sizable amount of money that I could put into an account, like a money market account, and was earning a good amount of interest, it actually became that much easier for me to keep putting money in there because I could see the return on that effort was really valuable.
Absolutely. So that was like motivation in itself.
Definitely.
Yeah. So Einstein actually referred to this compounding as the most powerful force in the world. And then, I mean, I guess that's pretty powerful coming from a genius.
Yeah.
But so what is compounding? So compounding is effectively growth on growth and over a long period of time. And this effect of growth on growth can be quite staggering. So the parts to this equation are time and then the return that you're achieving. And of course, the return is important, absolutely. But most people concentrate on what return am I getting. Mm. But as a young person, you have lots of time on your side. So obviously, the return is important, the rate of return, but you've got so much more time. And this effect of compounding has a staggering long-term effect for a young person.
Yeah, it would have been nice to know that 20 years ago, Rick. Thanks for dropping into my life now. Okay, let's move to insurance then. Can we maybe talk about medical aids? And I must say that from my perspective, a medical aid or a life insurance policy wasn't on my mind at all in my younger years, mostly because I was fit and healthy and I just didn't figure it was necessary. But as I got older, I got married, I had a child, and with that, I came to realize that the dependents mean I have more responsibilities and hence the need for insurance products. Does this track the same for you?
Yeah, look, as a young person, you know, you're starting out, you've got limited liabilities, no dependents generally, and the need for sort of life cover or risk cover is small. But bear in mind that you have a long working life ahead of you. You've just finished studying, you've educated yourself, you've now, you just started working, and now you have the ability to earn an income. Now, for us, that is a crucial thing to ensure, which is this ability to earn an income for the rest of your working life. So if that gets taken away, that is catastrophic. So we see that as a very necessary insurance for a young person, which is a disability income insurance or a dread disease cover. So you should guard yourself against the catastrophic events like that. So, you know, you're not going to insure yourself against everything, but certainly a disability is an important one for a young person. And then, of course, you know, guard your health. So, you know, make sure you're on a hospital plan at least, and look at gap cover, which is relatively inexpensive. So really, insuring yourself against the big catastrophic events is important.
Yeah. Now, let's say I'm 30. Let's say my 30-year-old self has a savings plan drawn up. I know my monthly spend is less than my monthly income. I have an emergency fund. It's on hand. And I have medical insurance plans in place. Everything is checked. Where would you advise I put any additional monies then?
Wow, as a 30-year-old, I'd be congratulating you first up, because you sound like you have your financial life well sorted.
Hypothetical me, yes.
Seriously though, look, yeah, as long as you've maximized your retirement savings and getting your tax breaks on that, and you're doing your tax-free savings, let's say, which is, you know, a relatively small amounts annually, and then I would say the next place to make sure you're covered is just ensure, if you've got debt, that you want to be throwing any spare cash that you can into your bond, to reducing your bond as quickly as possible. So reducing any debt, to be honest. So whether it's a credit card or a car repayment or your bond, concentrate on the most expensive debt first. So, you know, I would say public enemy number one would be a credit card. So try and smash that debt. I'd try and get you to avoid using a credit card, because you need to be at least paying that off every month. Then you can use a credit card, but you shouldn't be rolled over. Any spare cash into a bond. If your bond's close to being settled, then there's opportunity to do some discretionary savings.
Okay, so then what about education? How would that fit into the bigger financial picture?
Yeah, look, of course, sorry, and that's, I'm glad you reminded me. You know, we'll have a client that'll come and see us, and they'll say, you know, I've got 150 grand that I was left by my gran, let's say, and they, you know, can I invest this? What sort of return will you give me? But I'm also considering, you know, going to study further. We would be the first people to tell you that the return on educating yourself further will certainly be higher than any return we'll get for you, within reason, obviously. You know, you do get the perpetual students who never work, but basically the investment that you're making there is in human capital, and we think that is super important. And what are you really doing there? You're investing in yourself in order to achieve a higher salary or income earning potential going forward. And that's really is what investing is. It's investing in something that produces a return.
And I guess it would be amiss if we didn't mention the fact that there are financial traps, so to speak, out there that we should all try and avoid, but they're not necessarily top of mind. Would you maybe able to point out a few of those financial traps that we overlook as we go through life?
Yeah, look, I mean, behaviorally, let's look at it from a behavior point of view. I think the biggest one here for everyone, really, but let's say for young people, it's trying to keep up with others. So, you know, we refer to it as keeping up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be, it can be very hard. You know, you've got your own life to lead, your own path, and don't compare yourself to others, because there will always be somebody that's doing better than you. So yeah, there's actually a saying, which is comparison is the thief of joy. And you know, you may have just received a promotion and you're so happy with yourself and you're doing well, and the next thing you look on Facebook or LinkedIn and you see an old school friend that's just you know, been made the managing director of a listed company or something, and it just takes the wind out of your sails. And that shouldn't be the case. That really shouldn't be the case, you know. It's a journey, right? It's not a destination, and we think you should savor that. Look, and the other thing worth saying is that at Veritas, we know that as a young person, you want to make good financial decisions, but you also want to make sure that, you know, you want to feel that these decisions are your own and it's not something that's kind of forced upon you. So, you know, it's worth saying, splashing out on a nice holiday, or, you know, treating yourself every now and then, I mean, that's absolutely fine. But, you know, buying a flashy car or a big home is not always such a good idea. And because, you know, those are not short-term spending decisions. Right. Those are long-term commitments. And that can permanently commit you to a higher spending in the future. And that has a major impact on your financial well-being.
Yeah, and a trap we don't want to fall into. Thanks, Rick. I really do wish we'd had this conversation 20 years ago. Great financial advice as always. And I think it's safe to say that if a young person puts these recommendations into place today, they will be well on their way to financial freedom down the line. Thank you for listening to the Veritas Wealth Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and visit veritaswealth.co.za for more on managing your wealth. Veritas Wealth, real people, real conversations. A place where money and life meet.